Are you living your life based on the promises of God? Listen now as our teacher Mike McIntosh begins today's edition of CNV.
This is a promise from God. That's what he says. This promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So if we were all to die today, your children would have the promise, and their children have the promise, and the children of those children have the promise.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
We thank you for joining us for Chapter and Verse, the radio outreach of Horizon International Ministries with Mike McIntosh. Sometimes we forget about God's blessings because we're focused on our immediate circumstances. Inevitably, each of us travels through our own wilderness experience, but it's these difficult times that strengthen our faith and our character. God promises that His grace is sufficient to guide us through those dry valleys, and that He will be there to provide everything we need. Now let's listen to Mike as we consider what shall we do on today's edition of CNV.
For this promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that you can be a spiritual woman or a spiritual man, for this promise is to you. Now Sandy and I both came to the Lord in the springtime at separate times. We were not married. We were actually divorced at that time. We had two children. And we were living apart. So when she moved back to California, I looked her up and she said, I really don't want to see you. I said, okay, but my birthday came up and she called and said, if you want to come over and have a slice of birthday cake with your children today, that's fine. I thought, well, that's very nice. I had been going to school and all these Christians with the rabbit hair covers and the long hippie deal, they all went to Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. And it was a little building built for 350 people, but there was like 1,000 people inside the building and maybe another 1,000 that would look in the window. They tore out the wall and put windows, and they had 1,500 people in the mornings outside, and inside was just nuts. Then they built a new building, and it was too big. They had a circus tent up, and it went from 1,200 to 2,200, and then it went to two services and three services of 2,200. Then they built the building, and they thought they'd only go to one service, but they went to three services. Everything was just growing like crazy. So the Holy Spirit was moving in Southern California, literally all over the country. There was a revival breaking out in America. The people that are in the White House and other areas of government, many of them were students at that same time that were communist sympathizers. And they were causing riots on college campuses, but these Jesus people were causing another kind of riot. And everybody was happy to see somebody that would challenge these orators that were angry about everything America did. So the Lord stepped in at that time, or what's happening right now would have happened back then. And the sad thing is that the church is so silent right now that only God could do a miracle to save our country, I think, and bring it to at least a stabilized place where people are free and not in bondage. So when I accepted the Lord, I felt such freedom and I felt such guilt that we were divorced and we had these kids. Little did I know that she would accept the Lord 2 or 3 months later, and then a year later we would remarry. So the day that we got married, I remember my morning devotion, I was kind of crying because I said, God, you know I don't know how to be a husband, and now I don't know how to be a father of two children. I don't know what to do. And a little voice said, I am your role model. And that settled it from there. I will go to the Word of God. I'll find everything about a husband, good or bad. I'll find everything about a father, good or bad, and I'll look at it all. And I'll try to be the best loving person that I can be for these people. And this verse is for you. And I know it worked for me, so I'm guaranteeing you that this will work for you. I want to show you something. This promise, he says, this Holy Spirit coming into your life, this promise is for you. Circle that. The promise is to you and then to your children. I had no clue that morning of our marriage, second time, that we would have 6 children that we'd look at. Nor did I think there would be 18 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. That's a lot. I mean, you should see it at our house when most of them show up. It's amazing. At Christmas time, we had them last year. And all the kids were there and grandkids. It was just out of sight. And so I got all the adults in the living room. And there's an archway going in the living room. I got all the grandkids in the hallway. And I said, all I want you to do is stand here, shortest to the tallest, and make 2 or 3 lines of you. And I'd like you each to read a verse about Christmas in baby Jesus. So they started, the littlest guy first, and Jesus, and that one went, you know. And so, and they all stood there, and all of us adults were looking at these kids, and they didn't waver a bit. They went on up to the highest, to the oldest, and read the scriptures. Then I said, oh, I would like you to pray before we open the presents. I want you to thank God for bringing presents to all of you. Well, I met one of them. Any one of them could pray. But it started like the reading from the littlest guy to the oldest. All 20 or whatever are standing there, took their time and prayed. Thank you, Jesus. Most of it was that we're together as a family. And thank you, Jesus, for our presents that we get. It was an amazing thing. You know, you can't give me $5 million to give what was in my heart that day or Sandy's. I mean, that's life. That's real. And I was the guy that was afraid to be, and God said there. So I want you, all of you, in a family with any situation. This is a promise from God. That's what he says. This promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So if we were all to die today, your children would have the promise, and their children have the promise, and the children of those children have the promise. Now, I can go back on the Irish side, my mother's side of the family, and find a group of 6 preachers in the family. And I can go back on the Scottish side, and I can find 6 alcoholics in the family. And nothing about the Lord over there with those people. But with the Irish, they just loved the Lord for some reason. Little did my great-great-great-great-grandmother or father know that there'd be a Michael McIntosh. But they prayed for their children and their children's children. So if you have a problem today, maybe you are the problem today. If you are the problem today, see Philip and the pastoral staff, okay? But if you have a problem in your family today, you need to take that promise home with you. If you think there's no way that you'll ever communicate with your dad, that's not true. You give your heart to Jesus, and you better believe this promise is to your children, your children's children, and as many as are far off that will call on the name of the Lord. God will keep your children and you from hell. People go to hell because they want to. They're the devil's children. But God promises salvation and heaven for you, your offspring, legal or illegal, in or out of marriage. They're your children. God will protect them. You train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's older, though he departs, he shall return. He shall return. Of all of the kids to be a minister, my grandmother would never have thought me. A couple of the cousins, but not Mike. Good grief. The Lord, what are you doing there? This promise is to you. That's so wonderful. This promise is to you, the Holy Spirit. And it's to all that you love, is what he's really saying. It's all that you love. Let this be a promise for your family, as it has been for many decades for Sandy and I, that we are so amazed that God has kept this promise and kept us together. All who call on the name of the Lord. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That relates today. For those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Souls. I remember had an emergency one time flying, had to return to the airport. The first thing the tower guy said, how many souls on board? You've seen that in motion pictures. They don't say how many people, how many bodies. They say how many souls. It's kind of strange because the body can die, but the soul leaves the body. The soul, you are a soul. Let it be in God's hands. 3,000 souls were saved that day. What an amazing thing. You have a promise. They go out and they preach, and wonderful things happen. With other words, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And listen, here is something very important for you. They continued circle the word steadfastly. They continued steadfastly and circle or underline the apostles' doctrine. This is church. This is how simple church should be. And this is how you should live as a Christian. You are steadfast. You're on a narrow path. You're headed towards a straight gate. People are calling you from all different sides, distracting you. Lust comes in. Greed comes in. And they try to tell you, leave this path and go with all those people that are on that big path. And you struggle in being a Christian. Galatians chapter 5 says, the spirit inside of you lusts against your flesh, and your flesh lusts against the spirit that's inside of you, and they're fighting, and the two are contrary to each other, and you cannot do that which you would want to do. You're in turmoil all the time, and you need to stop the battle and accept the fact that Jesus has won the battle for you, and let his spirit bring peace in your life, and you accept who you are in Christ. And that battle will only stop when you tell your flesh, you're dead. That doesn't mean you kill yourself. It's a figure of speech. You can control your flesh, and your flesh can control you. So you want to take charge there. So he exhorted them, and we see that the church grew, and here's what the church did. Steadfastly, and you continue steadfastly in reading the Bible and studying it. If it comes to a place in our country, as we see in Canada and Sweden and Europe, that pastors cannot speak from certain books in the Bible about certain subjects. It has been threatened to be here. And as so much is going on in our country, you need to know the word. And if the word is something that's going to be offensive to somebody, you continue steadfastly. And you know this word so strongly and so deeply, you don't need a church, you don't need a man or a pastor. It'd be great if you have one, but I spent a long time in Eastern Europe when the communists controlled Eastern Europe. And those people came for 2 or 3 hours drive to get to a barn in one situation where we met in a farm in the middle of a field for a week. And they would drive back home, they'd come back again. And to get the gas, you didn't get gas. It wasn't very much. The government gave you little tickets that you could get gas. We were giving them food for gas because they had no food. They didn't want the government tickets. And they were so thrilled to get one guy got a can of pineapple. He was just couldn't believe it. Pineapple! Yeah, could we give you this and give you the tickets too? Yes, yes. You know, there are people that have suffered, and there are people right now throughout the world that are being killed simply because they're Christians. Africa has it going on right now. We have troops stationed in Africa right now. There's going to be a big eruption in Africa. We're not just stopping in Afghanistan passing by in Iraq. The major portion of gold on this planet is found in Africa. You need to wake up. You need to memorize every verse you can memorize and hold it deeply in your heart. That's what it means. They continued steadfastly. They met every day. They worshiped together. They prayed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines. Now, this is important because if somebody is teaching you and it cannot be found in the doctrines of the New Testament from the apostles, they're a false teacher. Oh, they may be charismatic. They're a false teacher. You need to know Jesus on your own. Then come and join the celebration of a meeting like this and sing and pray and give. But you need to be able to know Jesus personally when you're driving, when you're surfing, when you're shopping. You know him and you're talking with him all day long and you're listening to him. And you get times where you get alone and you listen and you hear God's small, still voice. And you realize the Bible's so true. It says, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? And I know that God is for me. There are a lot of people growing up that weren't for me, even family members. That hurts you. But you mature and grow past that. Get to the place that you know God is for you and be confident that God Almighty says to you, start a high school, and you go start a high school. There isn't anything you can't do. Whatever is impossible with man is possible for God. There isn't any dream or thought that God can give you that he can't provide every little toothpick that's needed for it. To sit back and do nothing when you have a life given to you by God that you can touch and impact a city or a county or a state or a nation or the world. You need to know this word, ladies and gentlemen. I say it as your friend. Let me speak freely about this. There may be a time sooner than you would like to know that it will not be able to allow us out on the streets, that we couldn't come to a place like this. You need to know the depth of the knowledge of God, of the doctrines of the apostles, and you need no other books, no green books, no blue books. You just know the book. And memorize it and hide it in your heart. So he said, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship. You know, if I were to go hang out in taverns Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and play pool with some guys, it wouldn't be long till I was playing pool but then drinking a beer. You got to pick your fellowship. You got to be very cautious about your fellowship. You need spiritual fellowship. Iron sharpens iron, as the proverb says, like the countenance of a friend. To have a friend that says, that's not right, you don't want to be doing that, that's a good thing. And say, thank you. I would have slipped or gone backwards had you not been there for me. You need to stay steadfastly in the doctrine. You need to stay in fellowship. Get into one of the core groups of the church here if you want. Meeting in somebody's home. And then finally, breaking of bread and in prayers. We're going to ask the gentleman to come forward to serve as communion right now. And we would like you to hold your bread and cup till we've all been served. But in breaking of bread, Jesus said, do this often in remembrance of me. So having communion often at your own home with friends. Let's humble our hearts before we go out to the movies tonight. Let's pray and serve one another communion. But communion represents the body through the bread of Jesus that was broken for you on the cross. The cup represents the sinless blood that was shed for your sins. In it all, it's God's love for you. So you continue in the Word of God, and you continue in fellowship with the other saints, and you continue in communion and in prayer. So let's bow our hearts right now. A quiet personal time just for you, to speak with the Lord and to listen. And the Bible says that if you are not a Christian, You eat and drink damnation to your own soul if you take communion. Because if you were to die, you would be remembering this communion, and you would have to admit you didn't believe. So that in itself would damn you. So the best thing to get past this is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you do that by repenting of your sins. You ask God to forgive you. And you ask Him to give you the strength to turn towards Him and live a life pleasing to Him. And at that point, you are free of your sins and your trespasses. So, Father, as we bow our hearts quietly before You, we see Your love that 3,000 people became believers as Peter preached. We thank You, Lord, that You outlined for us the simplicity of the church, of the Christian community. We repent of our sins. We're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. We receive the gift that You give not only to us, but to our children and as many people as far off that are related to us that will call out in the name of the Lord. Hear these prayers. Bless these hearts. Touch their souls. In Jesus' name. And I'd like to finish just reading to you verse 40 to the end. With many other words, He testified and He exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Then many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, and they shared with them with everyone that had need. So continuing with one accord and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and finding favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church those who would be saved. And that's the simplicity of Christianity. It's not really fancy buildings. Okay, they're okay. But it's really about you. The emphasis is you, not the organization. It's you, not the preacher. It's you. It's not the entertainment or the electronics or the music. It's you. It's all about you and your Maker. There are no strict things. In simplicity, in gladness, eat your food and enjoy fellowship. Go to work and work well with your hands. Come home and love your neighbors as yourself. It's not something that you have a choker around your neck to the church. You and I are the church. And Jesus, He is the head of the church. A Catholic priest on national television last night said, "My heart is, I am married to the church." And that's not true. The church is married to Jesus. And the minister is a servant, not the husband of the church. A servant of you. That's why you need to know this. And don't live your life leaning on others to be a Christian. Stand up and go to the cross. Deny yourself. And that's what will happen when you take of this bread and this juice.
That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close today's teaching on CNV from our series in the Book of Acts. The things that God cultivates when we spend time with Him is a steadfast heart and purpose. It brings honesty and the desire to speak what is pure and true in the eyes of God. And a close relationship with Jesus keeps our eyes on what is pure and right in the eyes of the Lord. Wisdom is cultivated as we sit at the feet of Jesus and He whispers in our ear, telling us what is pure, honest, and right in His sight. Virtue is not cultivated through our own power, but in seeking an intimate relationship with the Savior that loves us. If today's teaching has caused you to realize that your relationship with God is lacking, we would like to give you further direction. Let me take a moment and invite you to visit our website. Our address on the World Wide Web is MikeMacintosh.com. Once you're on the homepage, look for the Know God link, where you'll find the simplicity of the gospel clearly explained. There's also a section about getting a fresh start with God, along with suggestions for further study. Also, you can listen to a number of Mike's teachings through the Bible via live streaming. Again, the address is MikeMacintosh.com. Now we invite you to join us next time here on this station for more teaching with Pastor Mike. At that time, we'll continue our series in the book of Acts. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.